As some of you may know, our church has undertaken a 21-day fast. And here's the exciting thing to me. We're joining hundreds of churches, if not thousands now, all across America and even others around the globe. And for these 21 days, I heard about a large mega church that I would never just thought that they would be the type of church that would ever be fasting. But I understand they're going through 21 days of fasting and seeking the Lord. So this is very encouraging to me. We're not alone. But during this fast, we're asking God to do some things. We're asking God to search our hearts. That's what I've been doing this week. Lord, as David said, search my heart and know me and see if there be any wicked ways in me. And really, the Lord doesn't have to search too long. I know there are some things in me that God wants to make right during these 21 days. I know that. We're also asking God to help us overcome any areas of our lives that are not pleasing to Him. And we're also asking God for a breakthrough in some specific areas. For example, you may be praying for your children. I've already started doing that. I'm praying for my children. I want my children to receive the inheritance that God has for them. Maybe you're praying for family or even some relationships. I'll tell you, there are a lot of relationships in the body of Christ that need God's healing touch on them. Maybe you're praying for your business. You're asking God to target your business. Some of you are praying for your community. And we have a lot of communities represented here. But folks, we sure do need to be praying for our communities and our churches. Folks, the church in America, it needs our prayers. You know what it really needs? The church in America needs exactly what we're doing, and that's going back and humbling ourselves and seeking God. And I am persuaded when the church as a whole begins to do this on a consistent and regular basis with pure motives, I tell you, the move of God will be evident to everyone. Amen? We need to certainly be praying for our country and all the countries of the world. Wherever you may be viewing this, you may be in China or other countries, you need to be praying and seeking God for your country. But today I want to preach a message that I have entitled, Right Motives. Right Motives. Did you know that it is possible to fast and the Lord not hear your plea? Here's what God said to Israel, and I'm going to be referring to Isaiah 58 a great deal today. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there. But Isaiah 58 verse 4 says, "You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." Now, wouldn't that be a waste to fast and go through all that you go through to fast and to seek the Lord and then not be heard? What were they doing wrong? And I want you to listen to this because I'm not going to focus on this a great deal. You can go back. In fact, if I were going to give you an assignment, if you'd let me be the teacher today and give you an assignment, I'd tell you to go back and read Isaiah 58 this week. Israel was unrepentant and had forsaken the ordinances of God. Now, though they appeared to be seeking God and delighting in His ways, their sin is all that God could see. You know, Paul prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the last days. He said, the church will have a form of godliness, but it won't have any power. Folks, we can go through all the motions we want to go through, but if the power of God is not there, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. And if you go back and read Isaiah, it says, on the day of your fast, are you listening to me today? It says that they were delighting in their pleasures. Folks, listen, and I'll talk about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself today, but there's a time to just set aside the pleasures of life and seek God. Man, they were just going about all their pleasures, doing everything they were normally doing, except they were fasting, and they wanted God to hear them. They wanted to have the best of both worlds, but folks, it doesn't happen that way. Paul also said, you cannot eat at the table of the Lord and at the table of demons and expect to be blessed. They were judging one another. They were still, even in the midst of the fast, they were very harsh toward one another. When the Bible talks about the pointing of the finger, He's talking about judging someone and getting in their face and talking to them just the way you would any other day. How many of you know we shouldn't do that on any other day? They were abusing their workers. And here's a big one. They were ignoring the Sabbath. They were ignoring that time that God had designated when they were to come together and to hear the law preached and hear the Word of God as it was. Sounds familiar? Instead of truly humbling themselves before God, fasting had become just a faithless, mechanical performance full of strife and full of anger and lashing out. How many of you hear and see the picture that Isaiah is painting here? Now, folks, we don't fast to have our sins cleansed. The blood of Jesus is the only solution for our sins. You want to just say amen on that? It's the blood of Jesus that takes care of that. But folks, listen, when you enter into a fast, you need to enter in seriously. What do you mean seriously? Well, I mean by having repented of any known sins. See, I still get disturbed that when God seems to do something new, it's almost like our culture is so embedded in us that we just kind of carry our cultural thoughts. In other words, when it comes to fasting, what can I get from God? Folks, fasting primarily is not about what you can get from God. It's about what Wiley said in his word to us earlier. It's about what God can get in you. But our culture says, I need more. I want more. Do this, God. Do that. You know, that can be the summation of our prayers. But God says, no, I want to put something in you. And folks, listen, what I've learned about God, when God wants to put something in me or in you or in His people, it's for our good and it ultimately is for our blessing. And I've learned not to have too many lists, not to have too many priorities, because God knows exactly what He wants to do. I found my ways are not always God's ways. Are you there with me on that? And so we need to take this seriously. And I know this church is, and I just want to say, I know I heard the Lord whisper in my heart yesterday and again this morning, and I know He wants me to tell you this. I heard Him say this: I am so proud of the Church on the Rock congregation. Because I'm telling you, some of you are doing things you've never done. You're giving it your best in this fast, and God is seeing it, and God is hearing it. And I'm telling you, I heard Him whisper and say, I am so pleased with the people. That's encouraging to know that God is pleased with what we're doing, that He is hearing us, that we're not like the folks in Isaiah. Now, David said in Psalms 24, verses 3 through 4, he said this: Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He answers it. He says, He who has clean hands. In other words, you're not doing anything with your hands. You're not being deceptive with your hands. You're not misleading anyone with your hands. You're not taking bribes with your hands. In other words, your hands are only an instrument of blessing and not deception. Who can enter into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He says, He who has clean hands and a pure heart. I believe our heart is pure. And listen to this: Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. How many of you know you can tell a lie and be deceitful by only telling half the story? I love that when the word comes back from somebody, well, they said you said this. Well, I may have said that, but did they give you the context? Did they give you the whole story, or did they just give you half of the story? You know, Proverbs says the one who comes first sounds so good what they have to say, but then when you hear the other side of the story. Folks, we're not to be swearing deceitfully. We're to come to the Lord with a pure heart and with pure motives. I want to say it again. You should enter a fast seriously, having repented of any known sins. You don't have to be so quiet today. Isaiah 58 verses 6 through 7 say, Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? They were hiding themselves from their own people. They wouldn't even reach a handout to help their own people. And Israel questioned why they fasted with no answer. Hello, everybody. God is a prayer answering God. He answers prayer. Certainly, it takes time sometimes. Sometimes God says, not now. And sometimes we pray things that maybe God, we realize later. How many times have I done this and said, oh, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer? He knows what he's doing, but he is a prayer answering God, but he wasn't answering Israel's prayer, and they couldn't figure out why. So God raised up a prophet called Isaiah, and he told Isaiah, he said, cry aloud, listen to this, and spare not. Isaiah 58:1, and here's what he was to do. He was telling the people to repent of their transgressions, to fast the way that God had ordained it, and to tell them what would happen if they do. Not only is God a prayer-answering God, folks, He is a good God. He does want you blessed. He does want you prosperous. He does want your children saved. He does want you healthy. He does want you healed. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. That is our God. But listen to me, dear ones. We don't make the rules. God makes the rules, and He does them in love. And any rules that God made for us, they are absolutely for our good. Come on, let's say amen on that. Now, God gives numerous promises here if our motives are right. And I've kind of laid down to you how to get your motives right. Here's what He says in Isaiah 58, verses 8 through 9. He says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. One of the things that I like about a fast, when you do it properly and with pure motives, there is a sensitivity that comes to your spirit. Some of you say, I've never heard the voice of God inside me, or I've never heard that feeling that I hear people talk about. You start fasting and praying, you'll hear it. Now your flesh will be tired and be sluggish, but I want to tell you, your spirit is sharpened up when you begin to fast. What does your light break forth like the morning mean? It means illumination. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, He said, you're the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Beloved, listen to me. God intended for Israel to be a light to the people around them, to the other nations of the world. How many of you know God has called the church to be the light of the world? And we do that by glorifying the God of creation by our actions and by the blessings that God puts on our life that are apparent to those around us. And you know what it does? It draws people to God. Likewise, in our lives, as the children of God, our light will break forth and be apparent to these others close to us. And I sometimes imagine it much like the glow that was on Moses' face. There will be a glow, not necessarily one that you may physically see, but there'll be something that radiates out of your spirit, a glow that touches other people around us. And I think any true born-again believer wants this world touched. Amen? I believe that. And then He says this. I love this one. He says, your health springs forth speedily. I'm going to read some testimonies to you, because if there's ever been a time where we needed the health of God, folks, listen, don't believe your body when you start fasting after about 2 hours and it starts crying and throwing a pity party and saying, oh, this is crazy. We can't do this. It's one of the healthiest things you can do. Oh, I love the amens on that. It's one of the healthiest things you and I can do. The problem is we're addicted to food in America. We'll talk about the drunkards. We'll talk about the harlots. But we don't dare talk about our addiction to carbohydrates. No way. Stay off that one, preacher. We are addicted. And we need some good health is what we really need. Bob Rogers is a pastor in Kentucky. And I think he's been on 16, 21-day fast and 6, 40-day fast. God bless him. He's a brave soul. There's a testimony about a man in his church who had lost his bridge work. Now, I know to some of you this is going to be funny, but if you're a little older or younger and you've got some bridge work, this might be encouraging to you. In other words, he lost his teeth, and he couldn't find them anywhere. So he went, he had new bridge work made, but what he did at the same time, he joined the yearly fast. Somewhere around the 14th day of their fast, the man began to cough uncontrollably. In fact, he got to coughing so much that all of a sudden one day, he just had a coughing fit. Guess what he coughed up? His original bridge work, which nobody knew where it was. God knew where it was. This is a true story. Apparently, they had come loose in the night and he had aspirated them into his lungs. By the way, he must be a really deep sleeper. Listen, beloved, it's one thing to be sick and be healed speedily. It is another thing for God to heal you of an issue before it makes you sick. I think that's what God wants to do. I think if we were more sensitive to God and listening to God and fasting more frequently, I think God would tell us things and say, hey, you don't need to do this. I'll give you power to do this. Whatever he needed to say, and we could avoid a lot of problems. How many of you know if this bridge work had not come up, this foreign object in his lungs would have become a severe problem and would have required surgery to remove it. God, during the fast, removed his bridge work. You can go ahead and laugh. That's funny, but it's true. Woman emailed this awesome testimony. As she went on this fast, joining in on the 21 days, she was plagued by these certain protruding knots at the base of her spine. They were at the base of her spine, and they were extremely painful. And as she went into this time of prayer, she had mentioned to this the Lord, and she wanted to be free from it, but she decided, I'm going to focus on other people. I'm going to focus on my children and other people who have needs. And she began to pray, but this pain would become very severe and debilitating. And her husband joined her on the 21-day fast. But here's what's interesting. They went 3 days, just purely water, and then they joined in on the Daniel fast. On the third day of the Daniel fast, she gets out her list in the morning when she's praying, and she begins to pray over this list. And suddenly, she realizes, okay, I think I'm ready again. I want to pray over these nodules that are so severely painful in my back. I want to pray for them, and I want to give them to God. She reached around to feel of them, lay her hands on herself, and guess what? They were gone. Folks, God says when you fast with pure motives, your health springs forth speedily. I don't know about you, but I don't like a moment of being sick. I think I'd rather spend a day in jail, incarcerated, than to be sick. That's pretty bold, but I can tell you, I hate sickness. And I don't like it, and I don't think God likes it, and I don't think God wants His people sick. The Lord says also, when you fast, your righteousness will go before you. Isaiah 58 and 8 says this. In other words, your faith and your right standing with God, here's what it'll do. It will cause you to move into areas where you have not moved into if you had not fasted. Some of you pray a lot. You really do have things in your heart that you really believe on your good days that God wants to do. Let me tell you what fasting will do. Fasting will move you into a place of influence, into a place of open doors and opportunities that you would not have any other way. I cannot explain it. I'm not even trying to explain how fasting works anymore. I'm just doing it because it is clear from cover to cover in the Bible we're to be fasting. We've ignored the truth, but I tell you, the move of God that's on right now is the restoration of all truth. God is restoring this truth to the church, and I'm so glad for it. Now, most of you have heard the slang expression, I've got your back. How many of you ever heard that? It means that someone you trust is watching out for anything that may try to sneak up behind you and bring you harm. You ever been in a scary alley or been in a place you didn't know very well and it was not the best area? I've been in a few of those. Wasn't the best area to be in. And you wanted someone to have your back. In fact, you'd look around to make sure you had your back. God says in Isaiah 52 and 12, the God of Israel says, I will be your rear guard. In other words, folks, we do not have to live in torment and in fear. People who live in constant fear and torment and agitation are not perfected in the love of God yet. They do not understand that God has their back. God will be your rear guard. And I like this further, God says in Isaiah 54 and 17, I love this one. You ought to claim it. And you ought to fast for it. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. A lot of condemning voices in this world. A lot of people condemning one another. But God says, listen, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. Even if that's a Christian brother or sister, it's not going to work. He says this, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Folks, God's got you back. God's going to be your rear guard. Again, and I said this earlier, kind of as I was speaking to you before I started preaching today, no wonder the devil wants fasting to be the best kept secret in the kingdom. Folks, listen to me. Anything that really takes some effort or really costs you something, the devil knows that's where the blessing is. Why do you think he screams in your brain? Some of you say, I never heard the Lord and I've never heard the devil. Oh, I'm telling you, you have. Why do you think when you start out on something like this, your flesh just, I mean, it just starts screaming? Because the flesh wants its way. Paul said it, the flesh wars against the spirit. One of the greatest things you can do to get your flesh under control is fast. And listen, I've said it and I'll say it again. You got to prepare and you got to plan or you will fail. Because I'm telling you, your flesh, start fasting. Hello, Americans, start fasting. I'm speaking to me and my flesh and your flesh and the whole of society's flesh will begin to rise up in rebellion. Listen, the other day I was doing really good. I'm telling you, this had to be the devil. Or maybe I'm the devil, and let me explain. I'm walking by my dresser the other day, and you know, for Christmas we'd been given numerous gift cards to go out and eat on, which I like those. You know, as Trace and I get a little older, we don't like to eat in. We like to eat out. It's easier. It's not as messy. And hey, things just go better. And I walked by the dresser. I was doing really good. Hadn't thought about food or anything. And all of a sudden, I saw an Olive Garden gift card. And then, if that wasn't enough, I shook that off. Went and drank a glass of water. And took care of it. If that wasn't enough, then I came into someone's office this week. Now, this one really gets me. It has plagued me ever since. I went into their office, and on their desk, we're talking about the things of the Lord, and we're working some things out there and talking about what the Lord wants to do. All of a sudden, I look over there, and I see a bag, a big bag, not a small bag, a baggie, one with a big zipper top on it, full of tater tots. Tater tots! I said, brother, do me a favor. Take those tater tots and eat as many as you want to, do something with them, but just give me the bag. I'll be satisfied if you'll just let me eat the bag that the tater tots were in. By the way, they told me they were on the Daniel fast. Baked tater tots, not fried. Some of you, get your mind out of the gutter now. And here's something else. Next it says in Isaiah that he will hear and answer. Now, I've already addressed that, but I want to say a few other things. The Israelites were fasting, but the problem was their motives were wrong. Folks, let me tell you a wrong motive. Don't ever fast to lose weight. That is one of the side benefits that will happen when you fast. You will lose weight. But don't ever go on a spiritual fast thinking, hey, I'll just lose some weight. This will be good. I'll join in so I can lose some weight. That's not bad in and of itself, but that is not the most spiritual reason that you need to be fasting. Unless tater tots have control of you. Isaiah 58:9 says, but when you fast according to his plan, he says this, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. I want to encourage some of you today that are right in the middle of this fast. You're thinking, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm hearing voices say, I've done enough. The work is done. That's the flesh. And I want you to realize something. In Daniel chapter 10, we realize that Daniel began to fast. And I don't think Daniel necessarily said, now I'm going to set aside 21 days and I'm going to fast. And if the breakthrough comes, fine. If the breakthrough doesn't. I think Daniel was determined to fast on this partial fast until the answer did come. And it lasted 21 days. But here's what the Lord said to him. And here's what all of you need to know. Your prayers are being heard right now. You may not see anything. You may not feel anything. And most likely you're not. I've not had these big revelations. I'm not getting goosebumps. You know, in fact, it's disturbed my sleep a little bit. It's disturbed some other things. But God said to Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, Daniel, your prayer was heard. And he told him, he said, Daniel, it is the delayer that's holding things up. It is the prince of Persia that held things up. But from the very first day that you prayed about your countrymen and your country and all that they were going through in the exiles of Israel who were in Babylonian captivity, he said, I heard your prayer. Folks, God's hearing you right now. And here's what you need to know about fasting. Again, I want to be real today. I don't sit around all day, even though I'm a preacher, and just pray all day long. I don't even read my Bible all day. In fact, for the first 3 days, I had excruciating headaches. You know why? You know why I had headaches? And I think I ate pretty good. All the junk that we get in our bodies, this is the reason some of you say, this is crazy. This is crazy. I've got headaches. You know why you've got headaches? Your body is now beginning to burn what you've put in it. You've put toxins in it. You've put junk in it. And guess what? That's why you have headaches. It's all the prepared foods and the little slip them in the microwave things with all the chemicals and all the processes. All that went over well this morning. But you know what? It's good to burn that stuff up in your body. Can you imagine 40, 50 years of that stuff and you never get it out? We need to burn it out. Hey, take something for the headache. But I found on those kind of things that nothing seems to work. I tried. Just being real with you today. I know this, folks. God wants to answer your prayers. I read this amazing story of a woman who volunteers at Free Chapel there in Gainesville, Georgia, which I'm a big fan of Jensen Franklin's. In fact, we've teamed up with Jensen and his church on this fast, as have many other churches. But there's an amazing story that he tells, and it's about a woman whose parents had been in a severe financial trouble for over a year. They'd been given a notice of foreclosure proceedings, and if they didn't pay the $5,500, they were going to be foreclosed on. Get this. She called her unsaved brothers, not Christians, and he asked them if they wanted to join her in this venture that would end up being a great blessing to her parents, their parents who were in a desperate situation. God backed her up. The brothers agreed. Unsaved people agreed to fast for their loved ones. I think that's tremendous. Amen? Within 15 days of the house being foreclosed, her parents received a phone call. Get this. Her father had applied for disability in 2000, but it took 6 years for them to get around to having a hearing on his case. Sounds like a lot of bureaucracy to me, doesn't it, you? But maybe it wasn't bureaucracy. Maybe it was the timing of the Lord. They called, informed the family that his disability application had been approved and a check was in the mail that very day for the amount. And are you ready for this? $86,000, which included the retroactive amount from 2000. In addition, he would be getting disability payments monthly. Now, there's no way that these unsaved brothers could deny that it was God who brought about this miracle. Folks, that's not the end of all the promises that God says He will do. Isaiah 58, verses 10 through 12 says, "Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall become as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden," I like that, "and like a spring of water whose water does not fail." Verse 12 says, "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in." Now you know why I want you to go back this week and I want you to read Isaiah 58. There's so much here. But notice he says this, "Your light will rise out of obscurity." One of the things that I heard the Lord speak to me even before this fast began the week before. He said, it's time for you to come out of obscurity. And I know that's going to require some obedience. That's going to require me to step out in faith and do some things that God wants me to do. But how many of you know there's a season for obscurity? But folks, there is a time for your light to rise out of obscurity. In other words, in situations that you are overwhelmed by and you just absolutely don't know how to find your way out of the darkness and the obscurity and the confusion, here's what's going to happen. God will cause your light to shine on the path, listen to me, that you are to take. God may give you a totally new direction in your life. And you make sure it's Him if you do that. Don't get foolish. Don't get crazy. Some people, all of a sudden, they go crazy and just, I mean, but what God wants to do, God wants to clarify the pathway that you are to take. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today because I know the answer. With all that's going on in this world and all that's going on in our country, our community, and all around us, listen, there's a lot of confusion right now. In fact, there's a lot of fear being battled. There's a lot of what if this, what if that, what if God doesn't. Folks, God is going to do His part. And what He's saying is, I want you to come out of obscurity. Folks, listen to me. You must hear me. A bad economy is not a hindrance to God. Have you read the story about the four lepers? I mean, things were very desperate. Listen, you go read the story in the Old Testament. The parents, listen, I know this is gross and I know it's bad, but it's reality. And it happened. People were eating their children. They were cooking their children and eating their children. Somebody said, oh, don't mention that to me. It's reality. There are some horrible things going on in this world. But an invading army came and they seized Israel and Jerusalem. And God sent word to these four folks who had leprosy. He said, I want you to go out of the village. They finally decided one day, hey, what good is it to stay here? We're going to die if we stay here. So they went out and they went into the camp of the enemy. And guess what? God had routed the enemy. And in one moment's time, they were there taking all the bounty and all the good things, and they suddenly realized. And you got to realize something. These folks had been shunned and abused and rejected. They suddenly realized, hey, this isn't just for us. This is for all of our brothers and our sisters, even though they've abused us and even though they've rejected us. And things turn on a dime for Israel overnight. I'm telling you, folks, we're there in some places in the world events. And the only thing that is going to see us through is God bringing us out of obscurity. And one of the promises He gives, He says, when you fast with pure and right motives, I will bring you out of an obscure place. Now, one more story that I want to share with you again from Pastor Bob Rogers' church. He had a wonderful testimony that came forth out of his congregation. And as we do, they go on a corporate annual fast every year. And there was a man in his, this ought to encourage all businessmen, who owned a bakery. And as the year went on, things just kept going down, down, down. And by the end of the year, he lost everything he had. In fact, when it came time for Christmas, all he could afford to buy his wife for Christmas was a 75-cent card. And he gave that to his wife. A few weeks later, he went to see his person who's going to help him with his taxes to, you know, see about all his losses, what he needed to do. And while he's there, the accountant said, I have been trying to get in touch with you for 2 weeks, but I couldn't find your number because I gather by what you've said, your number has been disconnected. He said, that's correct. He said, listen, I know a man that wants to sell 4 bakeries right now. He's ready to sell them. I mean, pennies on the dollar. Well, the guy was real spiritual and had a great attitude. He said, man, I can't afford anything. What do you mean, $25,000? I couldn't even produce that if I had to. Great attitude. He's driving home. And all of a sudden, he sees a stop sign. And folks, I know this seems a little out there for you, but he said, all of a sudden, this stop sign, the white lettering in the stop sign just, it was almost like it came off the stop sign and said, stop. And it was like the Lord said, I want you to turn this car around, and I want you to go back, and I want you to talk to that man, and I want you to get that number. I want to work this out for you. The man did what he said, and he went there and he told the guy what he said, what the Lord had said to him. He said, listen, give the guy a call. Bottom line, he calls, and by the grace of God and God putting a little picture together, in days, the man purchased 4 brand new bakeries in another city, and he started prospering so much. By the end of the year, he had so much excess money. For Christmas, his wife bought him a brand new airplane and paid cash for it. These are not the reasons that we fast. The reasons that we fast, beloved, is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so God can get us in a position so He can bless us. Don't be stubborn. Don't have an attitude and say, I'm not going to do that stuff down there, church on the rock, doing all this fasting. Besides, that's a little fanatical. It's a little off the wall for me. I don't believe in that stuff. Okay, brother, I'll tell you what. I'll fast for you, and I'll ask the Lord to give me your blessings. I'll take your cars. I'll take your boats. I'll take your airplanes. Whatever. If you don't want them, I'll take them. You don't want your good health? I'll take it. When God says He wants to do something for us, we shouldn't resist. And we shouldn't kind of get that, well, you know, it's wrong, you know, to have things, you know. No, it's not wrong to have things. It's wrong when things have you. It's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. You can get a whole lot done. There are things we need to do right now on this property. There are things we need to do to get the message out. There are programs that need to be developed, things we need to do to get the word out all around the world. And it takes money to get it done. Some of you need to fast so you can get prospering and we can have the money to do what we need to do. Let me say, no, man, I ain't into this giving stuff. Man, you're just getting ripped off in life. You're going to die sad. I don't believe in that. You know, all those preachers, all they want is your money. No, that's not all we want. You are wrong. We want you to work in the house of the Lord. We want you to fast and we want you to pray. We want you to read your Bible. We want you to be givers. We don't want you just to stop with the tithe. We want you to give the offerings. Why? Because we want to get the gospel out. Don't believe all that nonsense that you hear from other people, all the cynics who've kind of, you know, they're all hypocrites down at the church. No, let me tell you where the hypocrites are. They're sitting around a coffee table somewhere, judging, pointing the finger, talking about everybody. That's the hypocrites. You know, their standard, and they're so right, and so, just think about it. They're so right with God, and everything is so well with them, they've never done a sin ever, and their sins are not nearly as bad as those hypocrites down at the church. Somebody on the radio is going to get this and listen to this, and they're going to repent and get right with God. They sit at home and listen to this broadcast. I cannot tell you how many people we have in our radio audience that consistently when I see them say, man, I listen to you every Sunday. Thank God for it. But you know what? God wants us to do more than listen. He wants us to be more than hearers of the word. He wants us to get out there and do His work. Why? Because time is short. Folks, God may be saying to some of you, stop. Stop all the nonsense. Stop the complaining. Stop all the whining. Stop allowing torment to defeat you in the night hours and just go back and see what God might be saying to you. And that's what the Lord did for this man. He guided this man back to his promise. Folks, there is another benefit of fasting. The Lord will guide you continually. Though your path may seem obscure right now, which I know it is for a lot of people, when you fast and pray in faith, God will reward you and He will guide you. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I got to say it again, and I know my time is about up. Folks, when you fast, there is a sensitivity that develops. You'll hear God say, go this way, go that way, buy this, sell that, don't buy this, be blessed with this. I mean, you hear Him clear. There is a sensitivity that you can develop in your spirit. And I'm going to tell you, it is amazing and it is wonderful. And then finally, I want to say this, and I do want you to listen, because this one is very close to my heart, and I believe it's close to your heart. Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. I'm not going to get up here and preach about how bad it is in America, and I'm not going to get up here and preach how bad it is for the generations that are following us. But I want to tell you this, folks. When you fast, you begin to lay a spiritual foundation that not only affects your life, but God says you will also affect the generations to come after you. You may not see the results. You may not always see everything that you want to see when you fast and pray. But let me tell you, God doesn't forget it. And God sees and God applies it to the generations to come. When I fast, I don't just fast for myself. But I fast for my children. And I fast for my grandchildren and so on and for the needs of others. And what I'm doing, folks, I am laying up a foundation through my devotion and dedication to God that He can build on because He's found an inroad into my family and my lineage. Are you still with me for just a few more minutes? Fasting can end the demonic attack on your family. Some of you parents are so concerned about your kids, you need to fast and you need to pray because God will use it to break off demonic attacks. I said it before and I want to say it again. You can preach and preach and preach. You kids, get in church. You kids, get in church. You start giving your money. I mean, you can be a preacher to your kids, and guess what? If they don't want to listen, they're just going to turn you off. In fact, you're going to push them further away. But let me tell you, you get in the secret place and you start fasting and praying for them, guess who does go to work on their behalf? The Lord. And He'll break that demonic stuff off of them that He's holding. Fasting can even break generational curses. So, dear ones, when you fast, you lay a foundation of blessing that will be transferred over to your children and over to your children's children. How many of you would agree with me today that the generations behind us really do need a move of God? They need a blessing. And they need the curses that have come over them, broken off. Friends, let me just close by saying, when your motives are right, God will do amazing things in your life. And I can't explain it. I just know that it works. I want you to stand this morning, and what I want to do is I want to pray for you. I know you've been reaching out to God, and I know you've been praying, and there's no doubt we've made that clear that God is hearing all of us. It's true. Can we just say God is hearing us and say a great big amen? Come on, shout a big amen. God's hearing us. And generations are being changed. What I'm going to do today, I'm going to pray for the grace of God for those of you to continue. And maybe even the grace of God for those of you that say, you know, I'm still thinking about this. You need to stop thinking. We had a saying we used to preach years ago. It said, analysis paralysis. I told you, I don't understand everything about fasting. I can't explain it. All I know is it works amazingly well. So I'm going to pray for you to have strength and the grace of God to be on you for the rest of these 21 days. Can I do that? Father, we love you today. Lord, I pray that all of us, when we leave today, we would see you as a God of benevolence and a God of love and a God who wants us to be blessed and wants us to prosper. You want our children to be saved. You want our communities to be blessed. You want our businesses to prosper. You want us to be in good health. So we say, praise you for it, Lord. But you have said that there comes a time, Lord, in order to get that breakthrough, we need to fast and we need to pray. So, Lord, I'm praying now for your people that the grace of the Holy Spirit of God will be with them. That, Lord, we'll follow through with what you've put on our hearts. And those that maybe just now are participating, that a grace will come on them. That you will show them what they can do to be a part of these 21 days. And, Lord, and see change in their own lives. And see change in their families and around their community and in their businesses. Father, we love you. And we know this is all possible because of Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God said really loud,